Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Around the Kid, Drum Talk Radio. Here is your host, Joe Ganzis.
Hey guys, what's going on? And welcome back to another episode of Around the Kid, Drum Talk Radio with Joe Ganzis. I'm your host, Joe Ganzis, and for the next 2 hours, we'll be talking drums, and if that's not enough, drum some more. Guys, we are live on this beautiful Sunday evening, April 3rd, 2022, on the East Coast of the greatest country in the world, United States. We got a great show for you tonight. Our returning guest and just a tremendous human being and fabulous, tremendous, very, very talented drummer. He's been the backbone for the legendary Y&T for the last 16 years, the incredible Mike Vanderhoof. We'll be calling in about 8:30. And a weekend warrior like so many of us, Jim Argy, calling in about 9:30, 9:40. The phone number, 563-999-3029. We got so much to talk about and talk to you guys. First of all, we'd like to dedicate this show and take a moment of silence to a fallen brother drummer in the world. Let's pay respects to the late, great Taylor Hawkins. Thanks, guys. We are live, 563-999-3029. Great show tonight. Oh, we got so much to talk to. What I'm doing right now might be the last time we're doing this. It might be. There's a good chance. Right now, it's better than 50-50 that this is our last show on the radio alone. If everything falls into fruition, One of my favorite words in the world is fruition, just happening. If everything happens and falls into place, we will be doing our new venture on the video aspect, different camera angles in a professional studio with a great, great friend of mine, John Besser, just a world-class drummer and engineer, producer. He will be taking on the duties as producer from now on. So hopefully Easter Sunday, April 17th, with the great Jim Riley, we'll be live in the studio. If not, we'll be back here, but there's a good chance we'll be live in the studio. We got so much going on. Every day we're working on the set, how it's going to look. You know, we're getting all the cameras in the right lighting. It's actually a lot of fun, but a lot of work. Tomorrow morning I'll be going over there and just doing some work and all week just getting everything. We got so much in store. We're so happy for this new venture. This is long overdue for Around the Kid. I think the show deserves this, really do. It's a new platform, and we got so much in store. We are pumped. We've been doing this aspect of the show since December 6, 2015, in our eighth calendar year. Today is show 231 on the radio, and just love doing it. So pumped up for this new outlook for the show, and we hope you guys will give us a chance. I'm going to be doing a live YouTube broadcast every other Sunday. Very excited. We are live, 563-999-3029. Let's say hello to our friend at Senten Symbol.
Around the Kid is sponsored by Senten Symbols. Senten Symbols is quickly becoming the choice for drummers worldwide. With their roots going back to the emperors of the Qing Dynasty, Senten blends the best of old world know-how with modern techniques to help all drummers find the best fit for them. Whether you're an avid drumming enthusiast or touring professional, Senten has the perfect combination of products, pricing, and service to fit any drummer's needs. Contact them today to find out what the drum love is really all about. Senten Symbols. Forge your sound. And now, back to Around the Kid with Joe Ganzes.
We are live on Around the Kid Drum Talk Radio, 563-999-3029. Wanted to touch a little bit on the late, great Taylor Hawkins, 50 years old when he passed last month. And I think when anybody passes, it's just a sad, sad occurrence. I never got to meet him. Always wanted to have him on my show. I was close a couple of years. I forgot who was my connection. It might have been Kenny Arnold, because they're good friends, him and Kenny, and Dave Grohl are good friends. It might have been that, but it never came into fruition again. But somehow we would have had him, but just an excellent drummer. You know, play with bands like Sass Jordan, Alanis Morissette, taken way too young. You know, sometimes I think in life we get very complacent in certain aspects, and just very sad. Excellent drummer for a very successful band. Just talking to friends about him who were big fans of him. You know, I got to keep it real. And I think the best thing about Joe Ganzes is that I'm always honest with my fans and my listeners. You know, I'm still not a big Foo Fighters fan. And I was never a big Taylor Hawkins fan. What does that mean? Joe doesn't like Taylor Hawkins. Joe thinks he sucked. We should always be honest with our opinions. You know, I'm not a big Foo Fighters fan. I like the band. Just not my thing in certain ways. But I could still celebrate. You know, I could still appreciate somebody for what they bring to the table. You know, so always try to get that, you know, honesty aspect in everything we do. You know, it honesty can't hurt. If it does, something's wrong. So we just dedicate this whole show to the passing of the great, late Taylor Hawkins. So sad, sad. I think he had three children and a wife. I just feel bad for Dave Grohl in a way. You know, he almost 30 years ago, Kurt Cobain dies. And now somebody in his band now who he's close to. So he's got to be going through a lot. So he sent prayers to the whole camp at Foo Fighters. We are live on Around the Kid. Drum Talk Radio, 563-999-3029. Mike Van De Hoole in about 20 minutes. Got so much to talk about. Wanted to keep talking a little bit about what we're trying to achieve in our next venture. You know, if tonight's the last show, we've had some great memories to date. And tonight, I don't want to say it yet, but we're hitting another big number with our second guest tonight. I don't want to mention that until the guest comes on, but we've done over 1,000 interviews. We've interviewed some of the great living legends. Very, very fortunate to do this every week. And for the last 2-3 months, every other week. In the first year of the show, we were doing 4 interviews a night. Now I do one and I'm tired. So it's just, we've had some great memories. We've done 20 tribute shows. And our next tribute show will be in a couple, 2 or 3 months to the living legend, Simon Phillips. We're working on that tribute show. We just had some great memories, great interviews. We've had interviews where drummers got emotional and laughed and cried. Very powerful interviews. I could just think of a couple, the Dean Castronova and Matt Halpern interviews. The first Kenny Aronoff, the first John Robinson. You know, when I interviewed Will Calhoun, it was so cool. To have Peter Erskine on and David Garibaldi, you know, Simon Phillips, the great Steve Smith from Journey, 3 times. Todd Sukeman about 7 times on the show. So we had the best of the best, and we had some drummers that are no longer with us. The late, great Pat Tarpey, Roy Burns, Frankie Benali, you know, a couple right now, I just can't. Leakers Lake, you know, had some greats that are no longer with us on the show. Just great memories, but we have those memories, and we could do so much with them now, but we're looking forward to this new venture. It's going to be a great set. We're going to have a green screen in back of us, of different kinds of backgrounds and different camera angles. We're doing some really cool things that I don't think have been done before on many drum shows. You know, I never say my show is the best, but it's been very unique, and it's been very, fruitful in a way to all of us. We've all had a great time on the show with some great guests, and I thank every one of you who has given us the chance over the past, you know, almost 7 years on this outlet. We look forward to the next. We are live, 563-999-3029. I wanted to touch on a guy who I just, it takes a lot to really, not say impress, but I'll say impress me. As a drummer, I've been playing for 40 years, and I can play. I'm not here to talk about me at all. But I could play. I know my way around the drums a little bit, and I am pretty knowledgeable about drums. When you have a guy like John Besser, who's now in our corner, who's just a tremendous all-around great musician but superb drummer, it takes the load off you in a way. And we're so alike in a lot of ways. We think alike, and we have the same, likes in life and a lot of us, we have the same taste, but it's just great to have him on board. And he's like me. When we do something, we give 1,000%. His work ethic is just great, and I think you guys are going to really enjoy what we have in store. The producer, John Besser, just great stuff. Very professional he is in everything he does, and I watch his drumming is just superb, and all the bands he plays with, he's just you know, when you watch a drummer and they really have total control of their instrument, that's John Besser. And we're so happy to have him. It's great to have him on board. So we hope you guys will give us a chance. Next show might be on the TV, so we'll check that out. We are live, 563-999-3029. Always our Send 10 symbols. We always thank Arthur Stones for sharing the show and being our main sponsor. We're going to be sending out maybe some emails soon. Once the show starts, we're going to look for some more sponsors. We're going to give people, you know, what we're going to be charging them, you know, on the show, because we're looking at it's a different ball game now when you have the video, the live YouTube. So probably going to be looking for new sponsors soon. I had a lot of sponsors in the past, but I got to be honest, without mentioning names, I was always much, I was always better to them than they were to me, without mentioning names. But it's a good learning experience. You know, you have an agreement for them, and those companies at times didn't fulfill their obligation. That's okay. I'm not mad. Learning is part of the process. But we're looking for new sponsors soon. We just got some great shows coming up. Like I mentioned, hopefully the next show will be out there in TV land on the video. That's April 17th with Jim Riley, the great Rascal Flatts for over 20 years, and Educator, another First Call drummer, the great Brian Dune. If you watch Daryl's House, he's the guy. He's now touring with Hall & Oates, a great Nashville drummer, just a seed tapes that I've been loving. David Northrup will join us, one of my favorites from Periphery. We just have so much in common, a powerhouse, the great Matt Halpin, May 29th, and a returning guest. This guy's been getting so much attention, and rightfully so. In my opinion, the greatest drummer to ever play in Judas Priest, the great, Les Binks, will be back on June 12th. I think it's his fourth time on the show, and he'll be calling from London, so he's a warrior, 3:30 in the morning. He tells me he's going to have a lot of coffee. So Les Binks, June 12th, we are talking with Dom Famularo now, Dave Weckl again to get them on Kenny Arnold. We have David Stanley coming up. We have Joe Franco on the back burner, Daniel Glass. And what I've been noticing, and I'm so grateful that all these years the show has been on, a lot of these drummers, and I'm not bragging, have contacted me. They want to come back on. And it's just, you know, it is, the show's been a great hang. It's a drum hang. And it's never been about, you know, the popularity. We don't care if we have, you know, Smith from Journey or Dave Weckl on the show. Last show we had the great Nico McBrain. Nico McBrain gets the same attention as my second guest tonight, Jim Argee, because they're drummers. You know, I don't treat anybody different in that aspect. Of course, you know, who's popular and who's been more successful, but they're drummers, and that's the best thing I could explain for the show. Always just love talking drums with anybody, because you know why? Everybody has a story. Everybody has something to tell in life. And we can learn something from Steve Smith or Jim Argee tonight. It's just, it's been a great hang, and I thank you all. 563-999-3029. We just have some great stuff coming out. I hope you guys give us a chance. The great Mike Van Hool in about 10 minutes. I wanted to touch on a couple of things tonight. I had some guys calling in, but they were just too busy. Was hoping on a couple of guys. I wanted to talk tonight about and how, and I'm going to be honest here, I'm not going to mention anybody's names or companies. I had a friend 3 years ago. He texted me and he said, I'm looking for an endorsement. And I didn't even know what he meant by that comment, because I play Pearl drums. Joe Ganzes plays Pearl drums. If tomorrow Yamaha or DW or Tama offered me an endorsement, I would say thank you, but no, I'm a pro guy. It's okay. And this friend of mine, which I won't mention his name, he goes, yeah, I just sent out 7 resumes to drum companies. Yes, I couldn't even respond. I'm like, what are you talking about? You just sent out 7 resumes to drum companies? I said, what? He goes, I'm looking for a deal. I said, but what do you like to play? He goes, well, whoever's going to give me free stuff. What a misconception we have about the endorsement. If you're out there now, give us a call. Anybody, 563-9929. Hop on this endorsement chat. I had a friend last year was maybe plays once a month in a local bar in Idaho. Okay, great. More power to you. Just got endorsed by one of these drumstick companies, and I felt so sad for him. Because he's so proud that he got endorsed by a drumstick company. And I asked him, what are you doing for the company, and what is the company giving you back in return? And his answer just summed it up. He said, what do you mean? He couldn't even answer the question about endorsements. He just felt like he was relevant now. He was important. Look at me. I got endorsed by a drumhead company. I am now endorsed by this drum cymbal company. I am now important. It's such a big, fallacy in life. You know, there's this big facade in the front, and you're looking out over it. It's just a big misconception, the whole endorsement thing. The endorsement, world is a partnership, a marriage between you and that company. Now, let's mention names like Todd Zuckerman. Todd Zuckerman plays Pro Mark 6, Sabian Cymbals, Remo Drumheads, and, of course, Pearl Drums. Now, what can Todd do for those companies? Probably play 20,000-seat arenas 40 times a year. That's 800,000 people who will see Todd Zuckerman, Pearl Drums on stage, Sabian Cymbals. So I'm not saying Todd does, but the top guys, they even get paid by these companies. Absolutely. And they get paid very well. Todd's in a great shape because Todd can always go to DW or Ludwig or Yamaha. But Pearl gives him the best deal. And he knows he's a commodity just like Pearl is. So there's a partnership there. They help each other out. You know, he's endorsed by Sabian Cymbals. You know, I can guarantee he gets free stuff from all these companies. But it's warranted. Sabian Cymbals is seen every night on stage with Six, Kenny Arnold, probably 40 years with Tama, and Zildjian. You know, give him whatever he wants. You know, you have to give something to these companies. No one's going to give Joe Gans an endorsement. Why would they? Well, what can Joe do for us? Not too much playing-wise, I had companies on my show, but not like that. I'm not a commodity for them. So you have to have something you're going to give to the companies. I'm looking for a deal. Well, what can you give them? Well, I play Jack's Bar in Chicago every other month. Oh, okay. 50, 75 people. A company like Pearl is going to invest in John Smith because he plays six times a year? Why would they? It's a business. They both want something in return. Todd Zuckerman wants something in return from Pearl, and Pearl wants something for Todd. So it has to be this great connection. It has to be a marriage together, like a conversation piece. So if you're out there looking for a deal, please, guys, have something to give back. Don't look for a deal just to say, I'm now endorsed by Yamaha Drums. Wow, look at me. Now what? Now what do I do? I'm endorsed by Yamaha Drums. Well, how are you giving back to them? I don't know. Is that how it works? That's how it works. So please, we find that in life we always have to get something. I want. I don't want an endorsement. 10 cymbals. I played Pro Mark 6 for 40 years. 5B, Hickory, wood tip. Okay, and 2Bs sometimes. I use different heads. I have 8 different drum sets. They all have different heads on. I have Evans on them. I have some Aquarian. I have Remo, Pinstripes, Coated, Evans G2. So you have different stuff. I'm not endorsed, so just be careful with that word endorsement. Don't always want to get something in life. You got to give it back, I know my guest tonight, my first guest tonight is endorsed by Yamaha. Why is he endorsed by Yamaha? He's playing in a world-class band that plays big venues, YMT. So if they're going to give Mike Vanderhoof drums or an endorsement, and rightfully so. Every time he's on stage, you see Yamaha, Yamaha, Yamaha. Steve Gadd plays Yamaha. I don't know anything about Steve Gadd's deal. I could probably say they're paying him. And you know what? He deserves every dime. Dave Reckel, you know, Yamaha, definitely probably paying him. You know, Steve Smith, Sonar. These guys, Simon Phillips, 40 years with Tama. You know, most likely, if I had a bet on it, they're getting money from these companies. And they deserve it. They've earned it, you know. 40 years with the same company. I'm surprised if he doesn't own stock in Tama, Simon Phillips. So don't always just try to get a deal without knowing what the deal involves, you know, entails, you know. Oh, I have to give something back to Yamaha? I thought they gave me guns because I'm good looking. Well, you're not that good looking. So the whole endorsement thing, and I'm going to touch a little bit on with my first guest tonight, Mike Mandel, in about 5 minutes. But, you know, it's a tricky subject. You know, I just think endorsement is not getting something. It's more giving than getting. Thanks, guys. We are live, 563-999-3029. Let's hear from our main guys at Sent 10 Symbols. I had five of these different series of beautiful symbols.
Around the Kid is sponsored by Sent 10 Symbols. Sent 10 Symbols is quickly becoming the choice for drummers worldwide. With their roots going back to the emperors of the Qing Dynasty, Sent 10 blends the best of old world know-how with modern techniques to help all drummers find the best fit for them. Whether you're an avid drumming enthusiast or touring professional, Sent 10 has the perfect combination of products, pricing, and service to fit any drummer's needs. Contact them today to find out what the drum love is really all about. Sent 10 Symbols. Forge your sound. And now, back to Around the Kid with Joe Ganzes.
We are back on show 231 on the radio aspect, 563-999-3029. And we thank everybody for giving us a chance all these years. We started this little thing called Around the Kid on December 6th. My first guest ever on this radio was Bill Zildjian, of course, Zildjian Symbols. And Bill, a little fact on Bill Zildjian. Do you know Bill's first name, what that is? Bill is the B in Sabian. I think the A is for Andy, another son or relative. But the B in Sabian is Bill Zildjian. He was my first guest, along with a great local drummer, good friend of mine, Tony Lazara, my first show ever. Great memories. We are live today on April 3rd, 2022, and we're still loving what we do. Pumped, pumped, pumped. Got the great Mike Wine T in about 2 or 3 minutes. Just great, great stuff. We're talking drums always, always, and always. Matter of fact, I just see my first guest. I love when drummers are on time because that's our job, to be on time, or even a little early. I am pumped up for this guy, just a good friend and tremendous world-class talent. I'm going to play a cool song off the James Durbin 2021 released, the album, The Awakenings. Great track called Calling Out for Midnight with the world-class Micah Vanderhoof on. We'll be right back.
And now, back to Around the Kid with Joe Ganzes.
Damn, that fucking song kicked ass. That whole album is great, guys. Check it out. James Durbin, The Beast Awakens. Just tremendous drumming on there. From my brother, my friend, it gives me great pleasure to welcome back to Around the Kid. Once again, the world-class, the great, the talented Mike Vanderhoof. What is up, my brother?
Hey, Joe. How you doing, man? Great to hear your voice.
Oh, man. I just I love hearing your voice, bro. It's like old times. How you doing, Mike? What's going on, bro?
Oh, good. Just trying to stay busy, you know? Just
yeah. How
keeping
you doing?
Going while things have been down. I'm doing all right. Gosh, when was the last time I was talking to you? I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, it
before
it's
the
been
pandemic,
a while since...
so. Yeah.
Yeah, this whole crazy stuff. But first of all, how is Dave doing with his health? The great Dave Menichetti from Y&T.
Yeah, thanks for asking. He just procedure a couple days ago, and it went very well. He's home resting, and he caught it early enough. You know, for those of you who don't know, he's had a relapse of his prostate cancer, which he had years ago. But they caught it early enough, and it's a non-aggressive form, so they feel he should breeze right through it. So now it's just healing up, getting strong. We got a few shows to do, and then he's got to go in once in a while and get zapped, you know, a few times a week just for a month or so, and then we'll be back at it. So just thank
yeah,
God
guys,
he's all right.
Talking to the tremendous Mike Vanderhoof, 563-999-3029. I've been to several Y&T shows in the past 3 or 4 years. Just tremendous. They sound great, and Mike's a powerhouse. You know, I wanted to start by right there, and I'm going to keep this always honest. I think that's the best way to be, is honest and open. Let's talk about that. Okay, let's talk about Dave Menichetti. Let's talk about Y&T. You've been in the band 16 years,
yeah.
Correct? 17, 16?
Yeah, just 16, just about, yeah.
16 years.
Yeah, past 16.
Yeah.
I had to think about it. Last year, this was a blur.
Yeah.
I don't even remember it. Yeah, go ahead.
Right. So we love Dave Menichetti. He's a living legend. We love Y&T. But let's be honest, and listen to me. I will say this. Let's hope he's playing for another 10 years. Let's get it out in the open. But you have to think, and I always wonder about guys like you. Because I have to just thank you, brother, and before I forget, and it's live, so we can do this. I got to thank Mike Vanderhoof for hooking us up last show with the great Nico McBrain. I'm sorry, brother, I forgot to thank you, but Mike is the reason why we had Nico on the show. I was trying to get Nico, so thank you, brother, for that connection. He was tremendous.
Oh, you bet. Anytime I can help, you know. And we've had a few connections like that, and everybody who's on always has a great time with you, so I'm more than happy to recommend anybody.
Yeah, thanks, brother. Now, we're talking about, you know, Y&T, 16 years. Now, next year, in 2013, Dave Menichetti will be 70. Now, do you think about that? And I want to talk about what you're up to now and how you've been coping with, you know, the downtime and everything and COVID, how you keep busy. But do you ever think about that, that, you know, Dave's getting older. I mean, it's just, it's part of life. He's going to be 70 next year. And again, let's hope he's here for another 10 years or whatever. Talking about the thought process that goes into that kind of thinking, you know, and everything you've been doing, you know, for the past 2 or 3 years.
Well, knowing Dave, he's such a healthy guy. He really takes good care of himself. And he did some drugs before Y&T started when he was really young, and then never did them again. And then he started drinking, you know, maybe about 10 years ago, but just for pleasure now and then. Never drinks a night of a show or a night before a show, even, I should say that. And watches what he eats and takes very good care of his voice. Always goes to the doctor early so he can catch anything and before it turns into something. So if anybody deserves it, it's him. Guy sure takes good care of himself. So we all hope he's around for a long, long time to come. So.
He loves
doing it, so, you know, he takes good care of himself so he can always be a great singer, you know, and that's something to really admire because, you know, that's tough for a lot of musicians to really take care of themselves when they're constantly traveling and out and about, you know, so.
Yeah. What's been going on with you with everything? I know you've been playing with other guys. Let us know what's going on and what's coming out with you besides Y&T with the downtime.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you asked that because I had to go to plan B during the pandemic because, like, what? We can't play anymore ever? You know, where? Anywhere? No? Okay. So plan B kicked in, and luckily for years I've always been on the other side of the recording business, where I, you know, learned how to use the machines and the microphones, and I learned way back in the mixing boards with reel-to-reel tape days. And so I'm really, really good at Pro Tools, and I had already been recording myself remotely playing on other people's albums. I would even do it when we were on the road at sound check sometimes, if it was a nice venue and there was no opening band and it was quiet. So I've been doing this for years. So all of a sudden it kicked in full swing, and I was fortunate because a lot of my friends and bands knew I did that, and they wanted to make new records, and hey, Mike does that. So I got a lot of calls to play on people's albums, and it's been great. And I've been played on, you know, a few good names like James Alton, and that was so much fun. That was early on in the pandemic, and boy, that was great. And to touch on that, he sent me tracks that could have been a record already. He played all the instruments, and he programmed drums. And it was pretty good programming, actually. And a lot of the ideas he wanted me to go with, and, you know, and I bounced my ideas off of him, and we'd trade stuff back and forth. But he let me be me, and boy, I just I went to town and listened to old Judas Priest and Iron Maiden and Motorhead and anything I could get my hands on from that era, because that's what James wanted it to sound like, and just revisited all that stuff and just went nuts, man. It was so much fun. That was the most metal thing I've ever done. But, you know, he writes such melodic songs, and he sings the shit out of them, man. He's such a good singer. So I'm just hoping we can play this live someday. So we would take the tracks he'd give them to me. I'd put the drums on them, get his approval. Then he'd ship them off to Barry Sparks, where you have to Barry. He played with, let me think here off the top of my head, Yngwie, Michael Schenker, Dokken. He's played with Nugent, too. I know he did a stint with UFO, and he's played with all kinds of people, so he had a home studio thing too. And then I know Phil Demmel from Machine Head played guitar on some of the tracks, and a few other people. But it was really fun because we never saw each other, but man, we made it sound like we've been playing together forever. You know, it was really, everybody did a great job on it, you know. So I'm very proud of that record. And yeah, I don't even know where you can get it. I think it's only with the record company out of Italy, which Frontiers. So probably go to James's website and check it out, so maybe you can find it there. But, you know, just doing that, and played with a few other people along the way. Did some stuff lately I've been playing with, of all people, Kelly Kagi. He's doing a solo record, so
yeah.
I'm playing on that, which is a lot of fun. So have you had Kelly on the show?
You know what, I emailed him recently, so I'll talk to you about him also off the air.
Oh yeah, okay, no, I'll make it happen if you need some help. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, he's great. So, I love all these years, his angle, how he played off to the side.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
so everybody can see him sing. Yeah, yeah, he's awesome. So that's a lot of fun.
You know,
playing with him, because the way it came about was really funny too, because I was doing, you know, over the pandemic, I was doing kind of like what you're doing, had like a radio show going with my buddy Mark White, and we were interviewing all kinds of people. And he was on the show one time, and he said he was making a solo record. So just as a joke, I go, well, who's playing drums on that? You know, and that's when it came up. And then he hit me up after, because he, you know, he writes so many styles of music, and sometimes he gets stuck on it. And he said, man, I just can't find the right groove for this, you know. So I gave him about two or three ideas for the song. He sent it to me, and I gave him about two or three ideas, all these different parts, and he told me what he liked. I pieced it together, and I thought for sure he was just going to replay it. But he's like, no way, man, your drums sound great, and we're keeping it. And so I just finished my third song, and I think he's just about done with the record. So I'm on three songs on that. But I said to him right out of the gates, I said, man, that's like Phil Collins asking you to play on his record. What the hell you need me for? Yeah. So
yeah, yeah.
That was fun.
What are you doing with Ron Keel?
That one I did, that was 6-7 years ago. I played on his Metal Cowboy album, and same way. But he actually flew up, and we wrote and recorded basic parts, just he and I together in my studio. And then I fixed everything up and sent it back to him, and he had other guys play on it. So I did that record, and yeah, a few other ones along the way.
Talk to me about what you've been doing, you know, with your friend. You mentioned it before, Rock and Roll Happy Hour with Mark and Mike. How's that been going?
Yeah, No, it's pretty good. When we first started out, we had a deal going with a local radio station here, and the guy who owned it was going to put us on a bunch of stations and get sponsors and stuff, but ended up dropping the ball. So there's really no money in it, and it's really tough, as you know. And it's, you know, but it was something fun to do during the pandemic. We're trying to keep it going. We do them once in a while, but it's so much work. Takes between the two of us, it takes literally like 4 days to make a show, because we interview the guest, and then I edit it all down into segments, and then Mark comes over and we do all this comedy and stuff like that. And Mark's really good at imitating people, and he does a great William Shatner and what's his name, Arthur, you know, Dudley Moore. And so we have, like, it's called Rock and Roll Happy Hour. So we always have a cocktail of the week, and like, we'll have, you know, the Dudley Moore character make a cocktail with me or something. So it's a lot of fun. So we got to record all those things, and then I hand it back over to Mark, and he puts all the music with it and edits it down to a 3-hour show, and then it goes on the air. But yeah, it's a hell of a lot of work. So without getting paid for it, it's just kind of been a labor of love, and we'll see if it ever gets picked up. Who knows, you know? But I could plug it in case anybody wants to hear it. It's podbean.com. Has all the past episodes as podcasts, and it's like podbean.com /rockandrollhappyhour. But you know, just find a link on our social media. Just Google Rock and Roll Happy Hour with Mark and Mike. You'll find us. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You know, Mike, I've been doing this for a long time. Even before this show, I was a producer of a show called Hard Rock and Sports, and we had guests on there. I've probably had 500 to 800 guests around me. And I got to say, one of the nicest human beings, one of the nicest guests I've ever had is Billy Sheehan. How is she? He's a beautiful guy. He just a world-class musician. He gives you so much. How is he with you?
Oh, great. Yeah. Just like you said, he's such a nice guy, and he's so happy to just spread, you know, the word and teach people, and, you know, cause he loves his craft so much. He just wants to pass it on. But very generous with his time. And I've met him a few times outside of that, even before I was in Y&T, and he's always been super nice to me, and great stories too. And I didn't know David Lee Roth actually went to him to have him pick the band, cause he's played with so many great people and he knows everybody.
Yeah.
So. I had no idea about that one. Great story.
He was playing with he played in his project with Dennis Chambers called Niacin. You should check it out. Great stuff.
Oh yeah, I have. I was well aware of that. I just didn't have room to spell it all out on the ad.
I caught
your text. That's a
great
man.
We are live.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, we are live with the great Michael Vanderhoof from Y&T and various projects, 563-999-3029. You know, I was talking before, Mike, I don't know if we touched on it all these years, but, you know, we might have on a round table or something, but I just see so many misconceptions, so many things said about the word endorsement, you know, and I don't think people at times, you're in the business, you know, to me, I'm not endorsed by anybody, and I'm okay with that. But I know the word endorsement, it should be like an agreement, almost like a marriage between two companies, because it's not about getting something. You, as a drummer, have to give to that company, and the company gives to you. Talk to me about the whole, if there's a misconception in your eyes on the word endorsement.
Yeah, I was listening to the show before me and heard everything you said. And, one thing I can say is I've been told by my artist relation guy in Yamaha that they don't pay artists at all. And I believe that because I've seen a couple guys jump ship to go with other companies. So, I mean, they may work out deals where, you know, a guy designed a product and they give him a cut, you know, or something like that. I have no idea. I don't ask, you know. I'm happy to be there.
Right.
But, okay, so first thing I'm going to say about endorsements is don't go just trying to get something for free or whatever. Play what you love. I've been playing Yamaha drums since I was like 17, 18 years old. I got my first professional kit. I was playing my CV700 all the way up to that. And then I got my first recording custom, which is still my go-to kit in the studio because they sound so good. And over the years, I stuck with them because with my heads and my tuning and the way I play them, I can get my sound consistently. And they feel great and they sound great, and I get hired for that reason, you know, because, you know, hopefully it's for my playing too, but they hire me because they love my sound. And Yamaha has told me flat out, you know, that's one of the reasons why they have me on board too, is because I make their drums sound damn good. And, you know, if you're playing their drums, they don't sound good, who the hell's going to want to get them, you know? So that's, you know, play what you love. I've been playing the same sticks forever, and I've been playing Remo heads because they're my favorite. I've tried everything, but I just love those. And I wouldn't endorse something I don't like, because then you're stuck with it, you know? What's the point? And
right.
A couple of the endorsements I have are fun too, because just like Yamaha, see, Yamaha treats everybody, whether you're Steve Gadd or me, they have you come in and demo products, and they call us and they ask us, you know, what we've been thinking and what we'd like to see. And when they were making the Absolute Hybrid Maples, we all were down there giving our opinion and trying them out and helping them pick out the woods. And, you know, it's unbelievable. So they're very into hearing what their artists have to say, and that's why they have us. And, you know, I've even a couple of levels, I was looking for some products that didn't exist. Like I helped the company Cymbal Socks, right? I saw this at NAMM and I go, man, I've been looking for this because I can't travel with huge anvil cases when we do the fly dates and stuff like that. So I got my cymbal case, and I don't like the cases with the big screw up the middle, because that ruins your cymbals. And I always put plastic bags between, which was a pain in the ass. So this guy was developing these like elastic, you know, it's kind of like I can't remember the name of the material, but like spandex type of stuff, right? And it goes around the thing, but he had these big drawstrings on him with these big plastic things. So if you stacked them up in the case, you couldn't close the case. So we were working together, and his wife found this elastic that was in, you know, like Speedos and stuff, which swimmers would wear, and it never stretches or goes bad. And he'd send me prototypes, and it was great. And so, you know, I'm definitely endorsing those because I use them all the time. And there's a lot of my help on that one. But, you know, stuff like that, you just make relationships with companies. And, of course, you're going to plug them and make them look good because you love them and you're using them. So the other thing, too, is when you look for an endorsement, the biggest thing I always tell everybody is, you know, I know some boutique drum companies around here that are great and would be really good to me. But when I'm in, like, you know, Japan, or we're in some remote place outside, you know, Eastern Europe or something, and we flew in and we need a drum set, you know, Yamaha's everywhere. They've got stuff in backline companies wherever, and all their lines sound good. You can get an old kit, a new kit, one of their stage customs or something, and it'll sound great. So I'm always covered, you know. They just ask that I try and put the name on the front of it all the time, you know. That's it, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love what you said, you know. Play what you love. I just see these people just want something, and they have no idea. But that's a great education, everybody, by the great Mike Vanderbilt on endorsements. We are live, 563-999-3029. I wanted to talk about, you know, the state of where we are today in drumming, and your thoughts, you know, about where we are in drumming in 2022. And the future for drumming. Do you like where we are? Do you not like some things about it? You know, certain types of genres of playing. I know some guys love the gospel chop. Some guys think it's too much. Where are we in 2022 with Mike Vanderhoof and the drumming community?
Wow, that's such a broad subject. Well, the good news is, with the internet and all the things that have happened, record companies don't have the control of music like they used to. The bad news is there's no way to make money unless you're touring. And thank God I'm in a band that has an older cult following, so we can tour and pack places, and they still buy CDs and things like that, because that's the hard part now. But, you know, I'm remaining optimistic about it because the kids find a way, and they're so creative now. And you look on the internet, guys are making money off of YouTube, you know, playing their butts off, and you know, there's a way. And if you get a band together, there's ways to get attention and get out there and tour and make it work. But who knows what's coming down the pipe? And I'm sure laws will get passed where the Spotify's and, you know, Apple Music and all those guys, you know, are going to have to really pay artists to play the music, because that's the biggest problem right now. You know, so I'm going to say it live on the air. Okay, kids, if you want to buy music, buy it from the artists themselves. Go to their websites and purchase it directly, because they get all the money. And it's like, yeah, forget these streaming services. It's like, I think, who was it? We had Mark Slaughter on our show, and he, their song Flight of the Angels got He says it gets like a million plays a year, basically. And I forgot what he said he got. He got like, you know, maybe $1,700 last year.
Jeez.
For that. He gets over a million plays. Yeah, and he gets like $1,700, and it's just like, that's just, you know, robbery. Meanwhile, this guy's got more money than Paul McCartney, who runs Spotify. You know, it's just wrong.
Yeah.
It's a matter of time. He's got all the big lawyers, so he can keep putting it off. But eventually, it's not going to happen anymore, and something's going to change. You know, it's got to. And I'm seeing all these artists sell off their publishing and stuff, and it seems like they're going to record companies and things like that. So maybe somebody's up to a new way that they're going to stream stuff themselves and pay ours. I have no idea. You know, who knows?
Yeah,
I can just speculate. Yeah.
Yeah. What you just said is so true. You know, in a way, all these years, the internet is a real good thing for musicians, and in a way, it's not a good thing. You know, it's both sides of the coin. You know, because it's much easier to get your music out there. You can put a song in and bang it out. But it just, you know, ever since Napster and everybody used to give Lars from Metallica all flack.
Yeah.
He was right. He was 100% right on what he said.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, in the internet, too, it's just like, you know, thank God we had it through the pandemic. You would have not been able to see any music, you know? And everybody was doing streaming things and clinics and talks and things like that. So that's been great. You know, the music business, just like anything else, everybody goes on there. And in our industry with drums, you know, every drummer's got videos out. And they're all just, look at me. But there are a handful of guys who really do a good job of teaching on there. You know, you just got to search for it. So all my students, they come to me with these, I want to do this, I want to do this. And it's like, dude, man, just focus on what you love and what you're attracted to. Because that's what you're going to want to play. And that's the stuff you're going to be able to figure out how to play, because, you know, there's just too much information out there, and, you know, that's one of the downfalls of the internet. So, you know, it helps to have a good teacher. By the way, I've been teaching for over 35 years, and I teach online and in person, so if you want to get a hold of me, MikeVanderHeul.com. There's my plug.
Yeah, great. Great stuff. We are talking to the great Mike Vanderhoel, 563-999-3029. Let's stay there for a second, because I'm going to talk to you in a little while about education to students. You've been doing it for a long time. And, you know, I ask different drummers this, you know, when teaching a student, what's one of the biggest misconceptions that you found out about your students all these years? What's one of the biggest misconceptions that a lot of them convey?
Can you be a little more specific? I'm not sure. Like, in what category? Because there's so much, you know?
But any student you're teaching, like, you know, is there a common flaw you see in most of them? Do they make the same mistakes? Is it a mental process?
Yes. The hardest part is everybody wants to jump to the top of the hill without climbing up it, you know? And like anything else, if you want to be good at something, you got to put in the time. It doesn't happen overnight. Like, you see these guys on the internet just kicking butt, you know? And experience, you know? Everybody... That's another fault of the internet. Everybody thinks you can just be an overnight star and, you know, American Idol and shows like that have had a lot to do with that. But, you know, all the great drummers who are working can tell you it's years and years of playing with other musicians of all different types and all different walks, you know, some speed up, some slow down, some play right in the pocket, you know, and the different moods you're in. And you just got to learn how to make things groove and make it feel good for the listeners and for the artists, you know, and that comes with experience. So I try and teach that as best I can by having them, you know, recommending shows to go to and watch how the guys work together. And then just play with all the people you can. Do the garage jams like we did when we were kids, you know. Find kids to play with in school. Find anybody, you know, whatever age you're at. And just play as much as you can. And you know, and then it's the other thing I see is a lot of guys, especially in the rock world, just abusing their bodies by playing because they think it's so cool to pound, you know? Now you look at somebody like Tommy Aldrich, you know, he is swinging and his arms are going crazy, but he has really good technique. And when he comes down, he's not killing it and he's not killing himself, you know? So I've helped out a lot of guys who are starting to get carpal tunnel and things like that. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to study you know, all the great players when I was young, and then in person with Steve Smith for many years while he was studying with Freddie Gruber. So I'd like to say I got really good technique. And some guys say I look bored when I'm playing, you know, because I'm so relaxed. But you know, I can fly around the kit and play super loud, and you can't do that when your arms are above your head, you know. So that's just the way I play, and hopefully I'll be able to play for many more years because I'm not hurting myself, you know. So, you know, I could go on and on and on about technique, that's for sure. But a good teacher also, will give you positive feedback, because I've noticed a lot of my students come in and they're turned off to things because they just had teachers that were maybe great players but didn't know how to teach somebody and guide them and, you know, tell them what they are good at and what they should focus on and things like that, and then compliment them when they're doing well, you know. And not everybody's a good teacher, you know. I look at a lot of great players, you know, like Steve Smith's a really good teacher because he can break down what he's doing and tell you in great detail, and he studies everything about it, the motions of his body, everything, and how he sets up and everything. And there's so many great players like that, because I remember hitting up Simon Phillips years ago for lessons, and he's like, "Oh no, I don't teach." I'm like, "Why not?" And he goes, "I don't really know a lot about it. I just know what I do. I don't know how to teach and break things down and everything like that." And I said to him, "Well, I do, so I know what questions to ask." And he goes, "Oh, intriguing." And he gave me his number. So, but he's been so busy, you can never get together with the guy. So maybe someday, you know.
But what you said before is so right about technique. You know, me and my friend Benny, a couple of years ago, we went to see the great Dave Reckle in Manhattan. Mike, he was playing with Oz Noy. He did a 12-minute drum solo. It was unbelievable. The guy wasn't even sweating. It was amazing. That's the technique in these guys. You're so right.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Oh, he's one of the best. I studied him and Steve Gadd and everybody back when, you know, on the VCR, and I remember replaying it over and over and over until I broke the tape, you know, just trying to figure out what those guys were doing, watching their hands and, you know, how they pull that off, you know. You know, now it's all there on the internet for you, you know. But, yeah, have you been watching? He's got a show every Sunday morning he does, you know, online. If you haven't seen it, man, watch it. He's telling everybody some really good, valuable stuff, just laying it out right there for free, you know.
I know, man. When I watch him, Mike, I can't put it away. I can't turn it off. I just emailed him yesterday. He's been so busy. He's going to come back on the show a couple of months. But I just love watching those guys where you can learn so much just by them talking. You know, Mike?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's great.
Yeah, he knows what to teach because he knows what works for himself, and he's had the experience, and he's been down that road many times and done a lot of clinics, and he knows what works that way. And I teach a lot of his stuff in my lessons, stuff I remember from clinics way back, you know. And then the guy, too, you got to hand it to him. When he first started playing, the style of music was drum machines and everything, and you had to be precise as hell, you know. And he played everything right on the money perfectly. And arguably, people got burnt out on that because the styles were changing, and he was so perfect. But, you know, he is such a great player. He just went in and regrouped and got fluid as hell. And he talks about how he plays now and how he accomplished that by loosening up the space between beats and stuff. And he'll tell you his formulas and by teaching it. And man, that guy, you know, to be able to change your style like that and still stay on top of the drumming community, just amazing, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Guys, we are live 563-999-3029. A great friend of mine. I just love watching him play. Love when he's on the show. The great Mike Vandal. We always thank him for hopping on board. Mike, 16 years in my top 10 favorite bands. I'm a huge, huge Y&T fan. Oh, my God. Just love it for years. Go back to Black Tiger and stuff like that. But I wanted to know, you played before this. You did gigs before this and teaching. Talk to me about the last 6 years and what has being in Y&T taught Mike Vanderhoof about yourself in drumming?
Wow. Yeah, let's see. Well, obviously it's the most touring I ever done right out of the gates, just getting in the band. So I learned how to live a whole different lifestyle like that. And I wasn't I came from a lot of different styles of music. I had to hone in to become the perfect drummer for Y&T. I mean, like any audition, when you get the gig, you're not the best at it. They just believe in you, you know, so you got to become the best at it and fit right in. And it worked out great. Those guys are just, you know, everybody who's been in the band since I've been, it's just so great to play with. And Dave is the best leader and everything. So I learned a lot about band business and leading a band too, because Dave and Jill, his wife, who's our manager, just do an incredible job. And they're so honest and loyal to their members and encourage a team. And so, you know, in life, that's helped me out so many ways. And then the physical side of it, playing all the time, I had to really work on everything I learned, you know, especially from Steve. And I would hit him up a couple times through it because I'm like, oh, dude, I'm getting pain in my right arm. I'm falling asleep. My arm's going numb and stuff, you know. And a lot of it has to do with I'm singing all the high parts at the same time. So when you're holding those out, you got to try not to stress. And you got to get your ride cymbal at the right angle so your right arm can relax and, you know, just things like that. And so I learned a lot about me and my body, which I teach, you know, I teach now. And, you know, all the things I've learned and just, when you're on the road, how to keep exercising and strengthening your core so you can survive in the long plane rides and you know, car rides and things like that. But that, and then the social networking side of it has been wonderful. I've always loved to do that. And then it opened up all the doors for me because of the respect the band gets. I mean, of course, I'm meeting all these great drummers, you know, who I admired for years, but also the companies. And I love making the relationships with everybody, even if it's a company I'm not with, you know, just meeting everybody. You never know who might be able to help you down the road or who needs your help.
Yeah.
And networking with bands. And it's like, I'm watching guys who could be great at what they do lose their gigs and things because they're not good at that part. And they just, you know, I'm not the easiest guy to get along with all the time. We're all like that, you know, especially in a band, your brothers, you're going to bump heads and stuff,
yeah.
But we work it out, you know? So, but you know, you gotta be a good person too, because you're living with each other all the time, more than your family you grew up with, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
there's a lot of lessons to be learned. Yeah.
Yeah, I love what you said about you never know, you know, who you're going to need down the line. I always have the saying that, you know, you never want to close the door too hard because one day you might have that door open again. You know, you just want to be nice to people. You never know who's going to help you down the road. And I think in this business, it comes into fruition so much with drummers and musicians. Oh, I know this guy wanted me to play with him. Now you're playing with him 10 years, so you – I think just to be a good person, you know, and always keep it real is a main.
Exactly. Yeah. And you know, they could trade me out for some big name drummer that doesn't have a gig anymore at any time, but you know, we work well as a team, and that's what they were looking for in the audition too. And even after I got the gig, for a whole first year, we were doing formal meet and greets where we sat at a table because they have such a great cult following. They wanted the fans to like me too. They're not like, we're not going to make them a full-time member until we know the fans like them. Cause that, you know, that could be trouble. So,
yeah,
pretty cool.
Great stuff. Yeah, we are live with Mike Vanderhoof, 563-999-3029. Phone lines are open. You want to get a hold of us. Mike, did you know Taylor Hawkins at all? Did you know any guys in the Foo Fighters camp?
Oh, yeah. The first time I ever met Taylor's story on the internet when he passed away, and I've met him a few times along the way since then. But, yeah, man, such a great energy. He was always so kind and cool to everybody. And he didn't know who I was half the time, but he would take the time to talk to me, you know, and then later he knew who I was because he knew who Y&T was and, you know, just really cool. But, my story, I'll repeat it for anybody who didn't see it on my page. But the very first time I met him was like, God, it must have been like 2001 or two or something. I went down to Mexico and I was visiting Cabo Wabo. And I had never been, and Sammy wasn't there or anything. I just went in to see the place and got a drink, and there was going to be a band playing. So I sat and watched, and they were on a break, and there's a crowd gathered in the corner, and you can't get anywhere near it. And I wasn't in a band that I could say, hey, you know, I'd like to meet such, whatever. So I just sat and watched. And Taylor Hawkins jumps up on stage and starts singing. I forgot what he sang, but he killed it because he's such a great singer too. And then, to my surprise, he jumps up on the drums and introduces Roger Taylor, the one and only from Queen, and to sing Rock and Roll by Led Zeppelin. And they played it. And Roger is such a great singer. You know, he's saying all the high parts, for those of you who don't know, in Queen, which is amazing stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And anyway, so after it, you know, I'm a little buzzed, having fun. So I'm sitting at a burrito stand, you know, or something, you know, they have open restaurants and on these dirt roads. And here come these two drunk guys just walking down the street, and nobody knows who they are. And it's Taylor and Roger. And I jump out, I run up to him. This was before cameras on your phone or anything like that. I would have given anything to have a picture with it. But anyways, I walk up and I just held my hand out. And I just said, you know, I make my living playing drums, and, you know, I'm serious about it. I just got to say, man, this is such an honor. You know, you're a legend, and I love your work and blah, 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 you know. Sure, I embarrassed myself, but he just thanked me very kindly. And then I turned to Taylor and I go, hey, man, any other time? And he wouldn't even let me get it out. He goes, oh, I know, I know. And he starts bowing to Roger, too, you know. And it was really cool. So we talked for a few minutes, but that's the first time I ever saw him. So, but I think one of the biggest losses, obviously, for Taylor's family, and everybody's talked about, you know, Dave Grohl and had to go through it with Kurt Cobain, but what the band represents, and Taylor's definitely part of this, is that old, you know, what's the word I want, the vibe of the rock and roll, where they're playing what they want, playing their hearts out. Nobody's telling them what to play. They're recording what they want. They got a cult following because they're playing great shit and the hit after hit. And, you know, whether you like them or not, I knew you weren't a big fan. I wasn't a big fan of a lot of their songs, but some of them, man, I started watching it and it's like, yeah, this stuff's great. You know, it's got such an energy to it. But my point is, like, man, you know, without Taylor, it's going to be a different band. But, you know, knowing Dave, you know, maybe I start something new. Who knows? But Dave Grohl always survives. And, you know, but that, I just hope we don't lose, you know, they're one of the forerunners of keeping rock alive. And they get their new songs played on the radio. How many rock bands can say that, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I look at everything you said is so true. And, like, a word comes to mind. That band, what they do, they have full autonomy in what they do, full control. Everything they do, they're in charge. And I like bands like that, that just have that, you know, everything they do is because they want to do it. They're not puppets in the business, you know?
Yep, right. Yeah, they're the true rock and roll spirit, like all the old bands used to be when that we grew up with in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, you know? So.
Yeah, yeah, great stuff. Guys, the great Mike Vanderhoof, once again, probably close to the 10th time he's on the show on different tribute shows and everything. Just always love having him. Check out Wine Key for all their tour dates, you know, once everything happens with Dave. We wish him all the best.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk about you know, your playing over the years. And I think it's an important part of what we do in life. I think every time we do something in life, I think every day we should wake up and try to accomplish something every day, even if it's huge or minute. Talk to me about, you know, the things you have accomplished in your career and drumming, and some of the things that you're still looking to accomplish but, you know, haven't got there yet, things on the back burner. Maybe you want to put out a disco album or a country album. What's going on on the back burner in Mike Vanderhoof?
Wow. Yeah. Well, accomplished over time. It's just I've just followed my path. Some of the, you know, as to set my goals. I mean, one of the best words of advice I ever got was, of all people, Randy Jackson. I used to go see him play with Tom Coster, you know, who used to be in Steve Smith's band, Vital Information. And Tom Coster was in Santana. Steve Smith was in Journey. And so Randy was back then just a bass player, and not as many people knew him. So after the show, when they're all standing outside meeting people, I'd be talking to him, and he told me, he goes, just take every gig you can and just play your very best and just follow your path. It'll start to, you know, construct itself right there in front of you. And sure enough, it did. Boy, and it's like, I played everything from cover bands just to pay my bills back in the day, which I learned a lot from. I played with a lot of different ethnical bands and playing a lot of dance music, you know, with the people that are really good at that. And they were with drum machines and things like that. And, you know, a lot of people go, oh, that's crap. You don't play that. You know, I just play what I like and what I do. But I tell you what, I learned how to play to a click into a drum machine and all that when I was a kid, you know, 18, 21, you know, I started playing with drum machines and stuff live on a gig. I'm thrown in with the wolves, right? You know, I see a lot of guys over the years lose their gigs because they can't play the click tracks, you know? So I remember having this conversation with Mickey Curry, too, with Brian Adams, because Hall & Oates, they were doing that stuff back then, you know, like Maneater and stuff. They're playing with a drum machine, and then real drums come in and, you know, so many songs like that. So I was fortunate to have that. And then, but I always played in original bands that took a chance. I'd be making no money, you know, rehearsing many nights a week with guys, driving out to gigs where you got four bands on the bill, and, you know, did it for many years and many years. And I tell you, the cover bands led me up to being a great session player because I can put a different hat on. You know, tonight I'm Jeff Porcaro, you know, today I'm, you know, Jim Keltner, Dave Weckl, you know, and you just picture that in your mind, even though you'll never sound like that, you'll always sound like you, you know. So, but the originals over years led me to playing with different people, and I eventually got a call from Mike Varney, and I played with Michael Lee Firkins. He was a very, you know, virtuoso guitar player, and that led to, you know, that was all the Mike Varney stuff, and Mike Varney recommended me to Brian Wheat from Tesla, and when Tesla broke up, you know, the end of the 90s, I was in Soul Motor with Brian and Tommy McClendon from UFO, and that led to years later, when Y&T needed somebody, Phil asked Brian, and Brian recommended me, and Dave asked Jimmy DeGrasso, who used to be in the band, and I was teaching at Jimmy's shop, so that paid off too, and John asked Eric Martin if he knew who I was, and Eric used to come see me play all the time with this band called the Russell Brothers, which was blues, and I was learning how to play blues authentically, and that ain't easy, man, to play the different styles of blues authentically, so you never know where it's going to lead. And that was how I got the call to Y&T. And, you know, and I'm still branching out. I always want to be a better player. And, you know, through the pandemic, I've been doing a lot of practicing the stuff that I couldn't do because I have time to do it now. And like just last night, I'm always searching the internet. I saw this interview with Terry Bozzio and some new stuff. And they were watching the Missing Persons concert from the US Festival in 1983, and he was talking about that, and he starts talking about the different influences, where he learned this, how did he get that, who was he listening to, you know, even though you can kind of figure out enough of those if you study somebody, and I studied Terry a lot, so, but I was learning new stuff, so I just made a whole list of YouTube links of all that he talked about so I can watch and learn from these songs, and then I'll pass those on to my students as well, but you know, I'm always learning. And Phil Collins, man, I love his playing. And I saw a great interview on Drumeo where they were talking about what makes Phil Collins great. And they were referencing some stuff I didn't know about, you know. So, you know, I'm always studying, you know, always checking it out. And, you know, right now I'm really hot on, you know, the guys I've used to study who were the pioneers of, like, all the fusion stuff. You know, the guys who can play rock and the guys who can play all the jazz stuff have always been my favorite. You know, everybody from Tony Williams, Billy Cobham, Vinnie Colaiuta, Steve Smith, Simon Phillips, Jack DeJohnette, you know, all the guys that played with Miles and all those cats and everything. And then, you know, today, and one of my friends, I'm happy to call him a friend, we were both Steve Smith clones coming up, is Todd Sickerman. Man, he's taking the ball and running with it, you know, and spreading the name of drums all over the internet in a good way, you know. So, did I answer the question?
You know, as always, brother, tremendously. You talked about Steve Smith. I wanted to talk about, I don't know if you ever talked about your other educators that you worked with. What did you learn years ago about, you know, from working with Alex Acuna, a great player?
Oh, yeah, you know what? I'd go down to L.A. all the time when I was young. I was like, oh, I'm going to break in and make it in the scene. And then I got a couple run-ins. I almost got to audition for Level 42 and people like that. But I would go to a couple guys who were helping me. Jonathan Moffitt was helping me out at the time, who's legendary, and trying to recommend me for stuff. And I had an in with Vinnie Colaiuta, but again, he was always so busy. He could never teach, but we'd just talk on the phone. But Alex actually had some time. I'd go see his band play. And at the time, it was with Abraham Laboriel, the great bass player. And I would hit him up, and it was mostly talking or things at the gig there. But I actually got to go to his house a couple times. And I remember he just moved into a place and the neighbors were complaining. So we're on a small kit that's covered with towels and blankets and stuff, which was really funny. But I wouldn't call him the best teacher in the world because he didn't do a lot of it. And and his mind was so fast, right, and he didn't break everything down. But he would show me stuff, and he'd point on the map, and he goes, yeah, this is from this small country in South America. And he played this kind of groove, and he, you know, but luckily he wrote stuff out, and I could record it, because years later I'd go back and go, oh, okay. And, but yeah, I mean, he's just, his playing and weather report on the drum set, and, you know, and another Pioneer Fusion stuff right there, you know, and just
yeah,
all the great stuff he showed me, where he takes the Latin stuff and puts it in the jazz world, you know, and things like that. But, you know, I picked that up from him too. Yeah. Another guy I forgot to mention, Narda, Michael Walden, you know, and then,
yeah,
he took the place of Billy Cobham, you know, and oh my gosh, a guy I've gotten to know because of Y&T, we play with Winger a lot, Rod Morgenstein. Holy cow, man, the Dregs and everybody.
Yeah.
You know, shoot. You know, and he's still amazing today. And he, yeah. Go ahead.
Rob was last month here. He was on three shows ago. Oh, always great to have him. Oh, I just great player.
Yeah.
Talk to me about one of the guys you study with, Carl Allen, and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, Carl Allen, great jazz drummer, and he was coming through town. Somebody, I forgot who it was, but years ago, I was really young, and he was teaching at the local music store, Guild Music. So I signed up and I took a lesson. We did this a couple of times, but I got to be honest, it was way over my head. But
okay,
I went in there, and you know, he's such a great jazz player. He was beyond, you know, bebop and everything. And I was in the first stages of, you know, applying the independence and things like that. But he was really cool about it, and he gave me some stuff to work on, which I did, and things like that. But yeah, I learned a lot, and then more by going to the show after that, and seeing what he does after talking to me about it, and how to interact with the musicians and with the bass players listening to, and things like that. You know.
Yeah, just great stuff, man. Mike, I just tell you, man, I was so happy all day today because I get to talk to you. I just love when you come on, man.
Oh.
You got just a fresh – no, I'm serious, man. I love going watching you play. You were always so nice to me, inviting me to the couple of shows. I hope we can do it again. I want everybody to know this is just a great person and just a great, great guest. I had Mickey Curry on. When Mickey Curry comes on and talks about Mike Vanderhoof, you know you made it.
Wow.
Mickey's,
well, you
great.
Know, I feel the
yeah,
same way about you, Joe. Your heart is in what you're doing here. And it's like, you know, it's always so much fun to talk to somebody who really loves it, you know. And yeah, I looked up, I was trying to find when our first texts were, and it was like, yeah, the beginning of 2016, you're talking to me about stuff.
Oh.
And yeah, and we've managed
oh, yeah.
to pull off a few things over the years, man. And yeah,
yeah,
it's been an honor.
I think this might be our last show on this outlet. I don't know if I told you, we're going to a
right,
studio.
Yeah.
We are so pumped up, brother. I can't even tell you. We got so much in the works. Different camera
right.
angles. We're gonna have a cool backdrop. I mean, we're taking it to another level. And I think.
Yeah.
It's not about me. I think the show deserves it. You deserve it, Mike. All the guests, all the callers deserve it. Just to bring it out to a different outlet. Probably going to be 2 weeks from today with the great Jim Riley from Rascal Flatts.
Oh, yeah.
If not, it'll be the show after. The guy's name is Brian Dune. He's actually playing now with Hall and Oates. He's on Daryl's house. Yeah.
Oh, I know who he is.
So,
yeah,
we'll see what happens.
Player.
But
well,
I got the great Mike
you,
right.
Congratulations. Oh, I'm sorry. I just want to say congratulations on that because I know how hard you struggle with this and hoping to get picked up by like a serious radio or something along the way. But now you put it on YouTube and you can make some money from Google and that's what you deserve, you know. And you were talking about the old shows. You know, I'm sure if you put just the audio up from all the shows you've done over the years, people are going to want to listen. You know, they're going to search somebody's name and they're going to find it and they're going to want to hear it.
Yeah.
They want to gather all the information they can of people. So.
Yeah, I already got my crack staff, John Bessa, my great producer. He's working on that as we speak of putting these shows together. He's doing a great job. But I got a couple more, bro, and I can't thank you enough. You know, we've touched about, you know, Hell Tonight, Y&T, old teachers of you. But I want to talk about your playing. And so you took the thunder from me, brother, because – and. When I go watch you play, I don't know if I've ever seen a more relaxed human being behind the set, and then you'll come out with these this crazy off time stuff in like Rings of Chains or something, or Rings of Chains and these songs you just come out. And then at the end of the show, you'll come over to me and say, yo, I was nervous because you were in the crowd. What's that about? Because you've told me that a couple times, and I'm saying, Mike, it's just me. Was there ever some stage fright going on? You know, what's up with that?
Well, I think anybody who – drummers analyze drummers really hard. So, you know, you got to get over that point. But yeah, I know you're listening. And especially, you know, when I first got in the band, Y&T is so well respected, and so many drummers loved Leonard, you know, including myself, and then Jimmy and, you know, Steve Smith playing on a record. I mean, it's a drummer's gig, you know, it's great. And so I think my second gig, Mickey D's standing off to the side of the stage with me, and it's like he's staring me down, and it's like, talk about intimidation, you know. And after the set, he comes up and he goes, man, you went to the ride cymbal in the third verse of Mean Street. Why'd you do that? And I go, because I fucked up. This is my second gig, you know. And you go, oh, okay, man, cool. I mean, let's go get a beer, you know. And Nico was a big fan, and the way I met him too, he came up and he's just like, how are you doing, man? How are you doing? And, oh, good, man. What a pleasure to meet you. I didn't know you knew who I was. He goes, no. How are you doing? Because he was in a band with a huge cult following and took the place of the original member, you know? And so he knew I was going through it, too, and he felt sorry for me. And it was like, wow, man, the drumming community is so cool, you know? But back to what I was saying, though, when these guys come to your gigs, it's just like, wow, you know, but you just got to learn to get over it and just get your mind in the music and just, you know, keep your heart where it's supposed to be in your mind. I think one of the most nerve-wracking things that didn't happen, that could have happened, I was telling the story the other day, Mike Varney brings Ainsley Dunbar to our show in Vegas, and we play the set, and I come off stage, and Mike goes, hey, man, you got a minute? I want to introduce you to a friend of mine. And I walk out there, and it's Ainsley, and my first words are, thank God I didn't know you were here. You know, living legend, yeah. Man. It's like, you know, yeah. But, you know, I got over that. You know, I just try and, you know, just concentrate on what I'm doing. I'm good enough. I deserve to be there. You got to keep those things in mind. And they're watching me, hopefully, because they like my playing and they want to learn from me. So you got to think of that. Not like they're out there criticizing, you know. You know, it's a hard thing to get past. I think everybody goes through that, right?
Yeah, absolutely, man. Great stuff. Guys, we are just, we've been, you know, once again, just treated with the great, great Mike Vanderhoof. So talk about Y&T, you know, what's coming up? When do you think you guys are going to be getting back on the road with everything with Y&T?
Okay, well, next Saturday night, a week from last night, we're playing the legendary Fillmore in San Francisco with Eric Martin opening up. So that's our next show. And that's always an awesome gig to play because that place, you can just feel it in there, the energy, because of all the famous cats who played there, you know. There really is a vibe in there, right. Like it's haunted or something. It's really cool. And then after that, the next weekend, we're playing Friday in Reno and Saturday in Sacramento. And we're just keeping it local. But we're not booked after that for a while, only because we were waiting to see how Dave's energy is and all that. It looks like he's going to be okay, so I'm sure we'll book some more stuff over the summer as much as we can, you know. And, you know, a lot of stuff got messed up because of the pandemic and everything. You got to book so far in advance. So, you know, it's probably going to be a slow summer again. But fingers crossed, we're on for Europe, and, you know, we got about 6 weeks of touring starting in September, and we do really well over there, and we haven't been since 2019, so the energy is going to be high, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So, you know, I think that's when the next time we'll get back to normal for us, you know, because the only bands I know that are really doing it out there are the huge name bands, you know, like the Luke Bryan and, people like that, you know. So,
yeah. Well, yep. I hope when you get back to the New York area, I can come check you out again. I just love you. Let me know when you'll be getting to town, and hopefully I can make that night.
Oh, you're always, you're always welcome, Joe. It's always a pleasure to hang with you. And one of these times I'm going to be there with a night off or something. We can go hang, grab some dinner or something.
Yeah.
I would love that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I just found your first time on Around the Kit. It was June 19th. And I think that show, if you remember who else was on your show with you?
Oh, geez. The first one? I remember one time with Tom Breckline. Was that it?
Well, your first time was with Jim Riley, Tom Hurst.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay.
Yeah, that was June 16th. Oh, my God. Almost 6 years ago. Mike, guys, the great Mike Vanderhoof. What can I say, brother? Thank you. I truly love you. You know that you're just a tremendous talent and a great guest. And I thank you for all these years on this platform. And once we get on the video aspect, I'll have you back on. But just, Mike, I can't thank you enough for making my show better tonight, brother.
Thank you. I love you too, Joe. And thank you so much for having me. And it's always a pleasure. And anytime you do something, you know, like we used to do some of the guest hosts or, you know, the round tables,
yes.
I'm always game if I'm available. Love it.
Yeah. Well, I'll ask you right now, if I ask you to be a guest on my Simon Phillips tribute show. How's that?
Oh, I would love to. I would love to.
I definitely,
you know, I know a lot about his playing.
Just saw him
a few weeks ago, too, with his
game. Yeah, I know.
If you get
a
chance to check it out, holy cow, they're so good. Yeah, yeah.
I got a good friend of yours as my co-host, Jason Gianni. He'll be co-hosting that night.
Oh, cool. Yeah, yeah. Oh, Jason, we go way back, man. Good guy. Oh, that was
good stuff.
Excellent.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll let you know. Guys, the great Mike Vanderhoof. Mike, thank you so much, brother, and have a great night.
Okay, you too. Thank you, Joe. Take care, and good luck on the show, man. All right.
Thanks, brother.
Bye-bye.
All right. Another hour with Mike Vanderhoof. Just another. It's not enough. You know, I get involved in these guests, and I got to go to another guest, and I just want to spend another hour. And I talked about this with my producer, Johnny, the other day. He'll probably text me now that I'm a jerk or something. I should have kept Mike on. And then I know. We got a two-hour show, and I got another guest, and I want to keep going. I don't want to stop with Nico. I don't want to stop with Mike. It's like. I just love doing this so much, and when you get a great guest like that, the banter is just so good. You just, I got goosebumps the whole time because it's just going nice, and you get these world-class players like Mike Vanderhoof who come on and educate you and just go with the questions, and I love the thought process, man. This is why I love doing this, and we're going to have Mike on within the next 6 months by himself on the video, but we're going to have him on also on the Simon Phillips tribute that we're going to do. Once again, thank you to a great, great guy, one of the nicest in the business, and just a tremendous player. If you need tracks, drum tracks, hit Mike up. He's professional as they come, and Y&T is lucky to have him in the band. Thank you, Mike Vanderhoof. We are live, 563-999-3029. Let's give some more love to our friends at Sentent Cymbals.
Around the Kid is sponsored by Sentent Cymbals. Sentent Cymbals is quickly becoming the choice for drummers worldwide. With their roots going back to the emperors of the Qing Dynasty, Sentent blends the best of old-world know-how with modern techniques to help all drummers find the best fit for them. Whether you're an avid drumming enthusiast or touring professional, Sentent has the perfect combination of products, pricing, and service to fit any drummer's needs. Contact them today to find out what the drum love is really all about. Sentent Cymbals.
And now, back to Around the Kid with Joe Ganzes.
Once again, thank you to the world-class Mike Vanderhoof. Guys, we are live six. No, see what I did just now? I made a mistake. It's called learning process. 231 shows, over 1,000 interviews, and I made a mistake. You know why? It's live, and I love that. I was giving you the old phone number, which was 646-787-8027. But the new number is 563-999-3029. Make the mistakes, guys. It's part of life. It's a process. Mike Vanderhoof, we learned so much from Mike. The stories, Y&T. I got a text from another world-class drummer. Kenny Arnoff is texting me. Sorry, guys. Just learned so much. Hit Mike up. I used to love Ron Keel. Ron Keel had a song called "The Right to Rock" in the 80s. And I will hit him up to get Kelly on the show from Night Ranger. Just great stuff. We are live. 3029. You know, guys, we've been doing a show for 7 years, and we've hit over 1,000 interviews. Tonight is show 231, and we've had some of the biggest drummers in the world. My next guest is 350 on Around the Kid Drum Talk Radio. It gives me great pleasure to welcome Jim Argy to the show. Jim, Joe Ganson, Around the Kid. What's up, brother?
What's up, brother? Glad to be on your show, man. An honor to be surrounded by so many great drummers that you interview. How are things going with you?
I am pumped, brother. How are you? You're in Massachusetts, correct?
Yes, I live on the beautiful island of Martha's Vineyard.
Nice, bro. I was actually there. I was in Nantucket years back, and I drove a moped around Nantucket. Is that far from you?
Yeah, that's actually the small island that's a little like southeast of us. That's the smaller island. I used to work there way back in the day when I was doing lumber deliveries.
Yeah. How you doing tonight, bro? What's going on?
Good, brother. No, I'm just listening to your show before I called in, and Mike's an awesome guy and great drummer. I used to love listening to the YNT, and that was my era I grew up in. I grew up in the Big Hair era with the Striper and all those groups.
Yeah.
Actually, Michael Smith doesn't live too far from me.
Oh, nice. Yeah, he's a great player. You are the 350th guest on Around the Kid.
Oh, I'm honored there, Joe. You know, when you got in touch with me a few weeks ago, I was like blown away. I'm just a simple drummer, been playing drums for a long time. Grew up in the church, played a lot of gospel music,
yeah.
And that's what I'm doing now. I'm playing worship music at my church on the Vineyard. So I'm not on the big stage, but I love what I'm doing and just following my passion.
Yeah, I always love to give the guy like you, the weekend warrior, a chance to come on and tell a story, because I believe that we all have a story, brother. You know, Mike Vander, who's a world-class drummer, he tours the world with a big band. Last show we had Nico McBrain from Iron Maiden. Now we have you. Mm. And in all 7 years, all guests I've had, there's one common theme. You just have to be a drummer. I don't care if you're Steve Gadd or Jim Argy, it's part of what we do. You're a lifer like me. I'm playing 40 years. You're probably playing close to 40 years. Talk to me about your journey, where it started from.
Well, it started probably when I was really young. When I was young, I was actually in a foster home because I was a ward of the state, and the woman that was doing the foster parent, she ended up becoming my adopted mother. Probably about a year later. And I was always surrounded by music. And she was like, when I was young, I used to bang my head in the crib. And I used to have this bald spot on the back of my head. And like, what's wrong with this kid? What's wrong with this kid? So I think that's where the drumming started. Hello? Hello, Joe?
Jim, you there? Jim. I will see when he calls back. We are live, 563-999-3029. You got to love this Blog Talk Radio. Let's hope he calls back. We'll get him back in a couple minutes. Jim Argy from Massachusetts. Here he is. Jim, you
there? There you go. Yeah, I lost you. Yeah, I was like, I guess Joe doesn't want to talk to me.
Yeah.
The cell service on the island is not the best, that is for sure.
Fans and drummers you grew up, watching and idolizing.
Well, I grew up, as you know, I was a product of the Big Hairs, bands, and I was grew up in the church, so a lot of the stuff I did was I liked a lot of the Christian rock. I grew up listening to Stryper, of course. That was one of my big influences. Robert Sweet, great guys, and then I started following other people like Lester Estelle from Pillar, who played with a whole bunch of people, countries, and, you know, and he was one of the guys I like to listen to and so on. But I like listening to all sorts of music, no matter what it is, you know.
Mm-hmm. What are we doing? Talk to me about if you think, is there a common thread or any strategy that goes into drumming and bowling? Is there any common, thread there at all?
Well, actually, there is. It's called eye-hand coordination, my friend. When I was young, I started bowling in 1970 with my father. He used to manage a bowling alley, so I was 5 years old, and I had nothing to do on the weekend, so I used to go to work with Dad, and I learned the machines and how they run and how to bowl, and through the years, I've made a lot of friends around the state and around the world. So it's been a fun journey, you know.
Well, talk to me about some things in bowling, and like if we're talking about the 7-10 split in bowling, okay, not too easy for some of us, but how would that equate to something in drumming? Would it be a hard double bass pattern? Would it be a polyrhythm? How would that equate to something in drumming, that 7-10?
That would be like, tough double bass pedal. It's one of those things that you really got to work on. I think I'd have probably better chance doing a tough pattern on a double bass pedal than I would picking up the 7-10, even though I've been bowling as long as I have.
Yeah. Well, talk to me about, bowling, and what do you find as a hobbyist bowling, the thing that gives you the biggest trouble about bowling? Is it foot placement? Is the speed of the lane? What is going on with you as far as bowling and to maintain that excellence?
Well, I'm actually very good friends with a PBA Hall of Famer called Larry Lichtstein. He's out of Connecticut. He was actually in Western Mass, and he's a PBA Hall of Famer. He's a great coach. He takes the new beginners and molds them into, they come in and they throw like 5 or 6 gutter balls when they're just starting out, and an hour later, they're just rolling strikes. It's amazing to see what he can do with the average bowler,
Yeah, I used to bowl when I was younger. Me and my father used to go, and my guy growing up was a lefty named Earl Anthony. I just loved, he was so smooth.
Yeah. Actually, Larry was very good friends with Earl. He drilled a lot of his equipment because Larry worked for the PBA Tour and drilled a lot of the balls for the great people like Johnny Petraglia, Parker Bond, they got so many of the legends of the game that Larry drilled equipment for and also competed against.
Yeah, we had a guy
Larry's
around here in New York.
Too. He's very smooth.
Yeah, we had a guy around here in New York. His name was Mark Roth. I don't know if you ever heard of Mark Roth.
Yeah. Mark Roth was a very, very good friend of Larry's. And when Larry comes and stays at my place on the island, I'm the facility manager of it's a place called the Barn Bowl and Bistro. It's a 10-lane center with a beautiful restaurant. You're always welcome to come here. Just go on the
cool,
site,
brother.
Barn Bowl and Bistro on Martha's Vineyard, and you're always welcome, Joe.
Good. If I'm not there, I will check it out. Talk to me about, your group in the 80s with the hair bands. I was with you. I like a lot of those bands. I'm a big Queensryche, Iron Maiden, Judas Priest guy, but I like a lot of the hair bands. Talk to me about, over the last 40 years, how drums and drummers has changed in your mind.
Oh, they've changed so much. I mean, the raw talent that's out there now, and a lot of the stuff from the legends, like Kenny Aronoff, who's I love listening to him play. He's actually done a few songs with Michael Sweet, the lead singer, Striper. And it's just amazing how these drummers, and they're like so technical. I've always been one that I learned to play, and then I tried to get into the reading part of the technical part, and I was like, wow, this is, you know, I played for so long without actually learning a lot of the, to play by reading. It's just amazing, and I was like, wow, I don't know if this old dog can learn those new tricks, you know? But I just basically put on the songs that I have to learn and play, and just play as close as I can. But our band leader is like, you're not them. Just give it your Jim Argy flavor, and that's all we're asking for. So that's all I do, you know?
Absolutely. Because we are live with our 350th guest. Let me say it again. Around the Kit, 350th guest, Jim Argy, 563-999-3029. What are we doing today? I know you're busy on Martha's Vineyard. Do you play as much as you did years ago? Is it more of a different hobby now? You know, is it still that passion you once had?
When I actually got over to the island, we had a bigger house, so I actually had, like, my own drum studio downstairs in the basement of the house, and then I got back into that. That was like 2015. Now I live in a three-bedroom condo, so it's a little harder to do that. But I always have access to my drums, my beautiful ugly kit I have with my Gibraltar rack and my Evans heads. And right now I'm playing Omet cymbals. I was playing Tonum cymbals for a little while. I still have those. They're in my bag, and I was playing the Zildjian A's and the Zildjian A Customs, which is made in Massachusetts. So I figured I have to keep those around. I can't sell those, you know.
I am personally. I have about 12 different drum sets, and I have Pearl drum sets that are 40 years old. I tend to like the older drums. My analogy is a muscle car for cars. What do you like as far as the drums? The older drums, or you a new guy in the taste?
I like, you know, all the old ones. I had an old Yamaha Birch, three-piece Birch kit, and I loved it. It was very simple. It's not like I have a 32-piece drum set. I mean, I wouldn't have a place for it anyways, but as long as it actually sounds good, you know, depending what the shells are and, you know, and especially on how it's tuned. I mean, I'm always checking the tuning, you know. I got my drum dial out, and I tune all my heads, you know, the resos and the batters, and, you know, sometimes I put a dampening ring on, sometimes some moon gels. It all depends on how they sound. So, but I love them all. Not a big fan of the electric kits, though. But they do have a purpose, so, I mean, I'm not going to discriminate against that.
You there, bro? Hello.
Yep, I'm here. You still there, Joe?
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm. I like the older stuff. I just have, I don't know, I got a weird taste. I like some of the new stuff. But I think, to me, I just think some of these drums at times are just so overpriced, and I just find the old set has a certain character to it. I put the right heads on there, and I believe this. If you give Joe Gansis any drum, I can make it sound good, because I'm pretty good at tuning. You know, I just always love the older stuff.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I got my recent kit. I have a Ludwig four-piece, and I found it on Island for like $300, and it was in beautiful shape. It was in somebody's living room that they played a little bit and then gave it up. So I snagged it and put new heads on it, took all the stands away, because where I play it at my church is it's a real small stage, so I put a Gibraltar rack up, and they sound wonderful. People say, your drums sound great. I was like, yeah, if you only knew how much I paid for them, you know. Must be the tuning.
Yeah. You know, for so many of us, I think it's important for us to have people in our corner, you know, who because drums is a loud instrument and people, you know, have to put up with things. Talk to me about your wife, Tammy, and does she give you that, you know, allowance, that confidence? Is she all for you playing, you know, and creating stuff as a musician?
Oh, like you wouldn't believe. When we got married, which is going on 16 years, she's my
nice.
Second wife, and she's amazing. She's always supported me in whatever I do with drumming. I came home one year, I think it was around Christmas time, and there was a pickup truck that showed up in my front yard. I'm like, oh, well, I wonder who this is. And it was like one of our neighbors, and I was like, what's up? And she goes, you got something in the back. So she actually picked up an old Yamaha Birch three-piece and surprised me for Christmas with it, which I was really blown away, you know?
Nice, bro. Great. Guys, we are live, 563-999-3029. Brother, I just wanted to say thank you, man, for coming on my show tonight. Just love interacting with drummers all over the world. You playing in any bands? You got any gigs coming up? Anybody you want, you know, to share with the audience now?
I actually play almost every Sunday at my church in a praise and worship band on the island there. So I'm always learning new songs, and it's, you know, it's not a big stage. I'm not in front of an arena, but I'm doing what I love and, you know, what God has called me to do. And, you know, I can't ask for more than that. You know, support from my wife, my friends, my fellow bandmates. It's been a wonderful journey. And, you know, it's something I look forward to every week, you know.
Cool, brother. I can't thank you for coming on the show. I'll have you on down the road again. But, Jim Archie, thank you for coming on, and thank you for being the 350th guest on Around the Kid.
Well,
brother, I'll be in touch soon. Thank you, man.
Thank you, John. Joe, it's been an honor and a pleasure, brother. Keep on rocking the kit, and I look forward to seeing some more videos from you, brother.
All right, guys. The great Jim Archie. Thanks, brother.
You're welcome. Take care,
thanks,
Joe.
Thanks, Jim. All right. Great stuff at Martha's Vineyard. What a life he's got. Just great stuff for bowling and drumming. Guys, we are live, 563-999-3029. This might be the last time we talk on the radio. Hopefully it is. Everything's going good. We'll probably be back live. I'll be posting on all the social medias. It's been an honor in the last 7 years, 1,000 interviews, 230 shows, and tonight our 350th guest on this radio, on Blog Talk, and we've had some great memories, but it's time for a new venture, so hopefully next show will be live with three different camera angles and everything going on with that, but everything going on around the kid. So we thank everybody for all their time, and we thank once again Senten Cymbals, but we hope to see everybody the 17th live on the air on the Zoom aspect. But guys, thank you for the show, and we will see you guys on the other side of the screen. Thanks, guys.